Hello, everybody. Welcome to MTG Place Podcast. I'm your host, Corey. With me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Doing good here. How are we doing today, guys?
And also with me again is Josh.
What up, guys?
So today we're talking Murders at Karlov Manor Commander set.
Yeah.
MKC.
Yep. For sure going to be in a commander lens.
Yes, it's a going commander or legacy vintage anyway.
True.
Me and Josh will be at MagicCon.
That's some news.
Yep, that is a thing. That's coming up.
If you guys see us, say hi. So should we just jump into it? We're doing just rares and mythics, no reprints, because that way it cuts the 500 cards down to 40. So
yeah,
we're not talking about the deck.
Otherwise we'll be here for 3 hours and we don't want to do that. Especially if we're just talking about reprints, it's not really necessary.
We would need to do one deck at a time or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so who wants to start with the first one?
All right, so we'll be going in Wooburg like normal here. So our first one we have is called Armed with Proof. It is a 2 and a white for an enchantment. When Armed with Proof enters the battlefield, investigate twice. And then clues you control are equipment in addition to their other types, and have equip creature gets +2/+0 and equip 2.
Yeah, you need to be in the clue deck, and I don't even see it's that strong. I wish it said artifact. It
yeah. Oh my god.
Clues.
Yeah, I mean, getting 2 clues for 3 mana is not bad though, because I mean, the best thing is with the 3-inspector, 1 mana, get a clue and a 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 mana, 2 clues, and you can later equip them. I don't know how good it's going to be in Commander, though. Because you'd rather just play, the white-red or something and just sack the artifacts to some other effect.
I
feel like clues are usually kind of used as fodder anyway, a lot of the time.
That or Urza, you can tap them. They're artifacts, whatever you can do.
Yeah, or they're exploited in some other way.
Or just pay the 2 to draw. It almost seems better than paying the 2 to do something +2/+0.
Yeah.
With Thraven Inspector 2 or the new Inspector, you can bounce them, flicker them much easier than just an enchantment.
You can flicker this, though, because it doesn't ETB.
Yeah, but what cards is flicker an enchantment?
Only creatures.
Usually you're flickering target creature or something.
Yeah, no, right. Brago's anything. Right? Yeah, yeah, it's any permanent.
Same with Yorian, so you could play him there maybe.
Yep.
But yeah, the bottom part is worthless.
You're
only caring about getting 2 clues.
Very rarely are you. You got to be in a pretty desperate position, I think, to use that second part. In my opinion.
I'd rather play the Toggle with the rocks. Are only equipped 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to draw the card anyway from there. Yeah. You pay 2 mana.
Yeah, for 2 mana, I want to draw a card anyway.
All right,
that's
kind
of the point, right? Yeah, all right.
We'll go to the new Immortal Obligation. 1 and a white instant. Return target creature card from opponent's graveyard to the battlefield under their control with a duty counter on it. For as long as that creature has a duty counter on it, it is goated. Can't attack you or a permanent you control, and can't block creatures you control.
There's a card Corey loves.
But it's an opponent's graveyard.
Yeah, it's opponent's.
The goated thing is fine for Commander, but if you're playing one-on-one, once you're down to one-on-one, you just bring back the creature to do nothing.
Yeah. So
what if it has a good static effect for him?
Yeah, then that would suck.
This is for
I wish it was under your control.
If
it's goaded and can't attack them, it'd be better because then I could bring back their Elish Norn for 2 mana and just wipe their board or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the politics. This is where you get into those groups. It's like, I'll bring that back for you, but you can't attack me, of course.
Yeah, if you're playing with a group puzzle deck or something.
Hit James the whole time.
Politics deck.
Yeah.
Or if it was your graveyard, you could do weird shenanigans with like Phage, but
no. Oh, this is a fun card.
We love it's that. Medium.
It's a mediocre card to me.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not great.
I hate Goaded as a mechanic in general. So
yeah, I know that's your favorite mechanic in Magic.
All right, next up we got the Merchant of Truth. It's 2WW for a 2/5 Flying Angel Detective creature. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, investigate, and clues you control have exalted.
Okay, this is a card.
A million times better than that first card.
Yeah, fuck that enchantment. This is way better.
Like, all my clues have exalted. I'm sitting here with like 10 clues in play, and I just attack with like a 12-15 flyer.
Sweet. It's like, okay.
You just collect clues the whole game, play this, and win the game.
Seems pretty insane.
And it snowballs itself, basically, too, because every time something dies, it just gets bigger, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just can only attack with one creature, then, but like whatever. You can also just play.
Who cares if it's huge? And has flying, so you're probably going to fly over a lot of blockers. So it's harder.
Plus, you're in white, so you can also play the Sublime Archangel that gives all creatures.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Turn all.
Doesn't it do it twice, or is it just everything is exalted? I can't remember.
Everything has exalted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was an absolute bomb back in RTR.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that with this would just be busted, man. And it's also in white. White has, you know, a decent amount of removal and other ways to get around shit. So, I mean, like this can easily be a game winner just basically by itself. Like it doesn't need a whole lot.
They were smart not to make it legendary, though, or else everyone would just play this in their mono.
Oh, yeah. Decks. 100%.
You'd be stuck in mono white, which isn't good for aristocrats.
No, yeah. But you could just play a bunch of creatures that make clues and then win with this.
Yeah.
If it was a commander. But you can't.
I don't see that still as strong, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's better in the 99.
Sure. I mean, your win con's usually your commander anyway, right? So.
Not always, but it can be. Yeah. Depends on the deck.
I think Voltron is really fell by the wayside recently. No one really plays Voltron anymore.
Yeah, poor Voltron.
But that's the thing with this, is you can go wide still. You're just going to attack with one thing.
Yeah.
As long as all your go wide things are making clues.
Or doing other things, yeah. They're just not attacking. So yeah, next up we got Otherworldly Escort. It is 3W for a 4/3 human detective creature with flash. When Otherworldly Escort dies, if it's not a spirit, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with 4 charge counters on it. It's a spirit detective. Then it also has pay 1W and tap it. Remove a charge counter from Otherworldly Escort. Destroy target creature that dealt damage to you this turn.
So it's kind of like you want to just flash it in, block, and then
yeah,
you can destroy 4 things slowly.
Then it becomes Avatar of Woe, kind of. Or
yeah,
the kind of. A worse Avatar of Woe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it just costs 4. It's kind of like, it's okay, I guess.
It's okay, yeah.
I don't know if it's amazing.
I mean, if you have a detective deck, it's a detective.
Yeah, it counts as that. It counts as a human for human decks.
All of the new set for it to have detectives.
Yeah.
You need to at least destroy 2 creatures to actually see like some value. If you can get all 4, then yeah, it's a good card. But you spend like 4 turns doing this.
Yeah, at that point, you spent 4 turns.
Yeah.
And 8 mana, or no, more than that, like 16 mana or something.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
It's like I can just play Wrath.
Yeah. I mean, sure, it's spot removal, I guess, but I don't know. There's better spot removal cards, too.
All right, we'll move on to Redemption Arc. 2W enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature is indestructible. And is goated. Then you can pay 1W to just exile the enchanted creature. So it's removal, but it's also indestructible aura, but better.
Yeah, so you can indestructible go your opponent's thing, and then they have to keep swinging, and then if they, when it gets down to the two of you, can exile it, or you can just play it on your own thing, but it has to attack every turn.
Yeah, indestructibility is an old aura, enchantment aura, that's just enchanted permanent is indestructible for four. Mm-hmm. So this is just
better than
upgrade.
That.
Yeah, this is an upgrade for that for sure.
I mean, minus you have to keep swinging, but I guess it's a destructible.
True. I guess that is.
You probably don't care. I mean, especially if it's a half decent creature, you're probably okay with that.
Try to find vigilance somehow and you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then you can block him in. Or just has it.
Well, yeah. Seems like a strict upgrade.
Yeah. Just put this on something like Brimaz or Hero or something like that, and you're. Like, I don't give a fuck if it has to attack every turn, because that's something you would attack with every turn anyway. Like,
the artwork's cool on this.
Yeah, it looks really nice. I feel like in the right scenario, this can be pretty good.
Yeah, yep. You gotta be the enchantment aura type deck, enchantress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's definitely gotta be built around.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we got Serene Sleuth. It is 1/8 for a 2/2 human detective. When it enters the battlefield, investigate. At the beginning of combat on your turn, investigate for each goaded creature you control. Then each creature you control is no longer goaded.
Indefinitely? Okay. What if you had Redemption Arc on one of your creatures? Does it just forget that it's goaded?
No, it just doesn't have it anymore.
it depends when you play the enchantment. Because it would not that if you had that Redemption Arc, it would not go to it because Ken usually supersedes Ken do something.
More things to remember.
Yeah. And this triggers on combat before you'd have to declare your attack, so I'm pretty sure it would get rid of it. You wouldn't have to attack.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense where you just can't like investigate every single, like you're going to get a clue every single turn just because you have one goaded creature. It like gets the one use done and you just can't recur it unless you goaded more things of your own.
But I mean, a 2-mana 2/2 gets a clue token to begin with is good.
It's decent.
Yeah.
But it's no Thraven Inspector or the new Inspector.
Yeah, which are one for a while.
So this is the third choice.
Yeah. But you play them all if you're playing mono white clues.
Yeah.
I hate the goaded part, honestly, but because it has to be your own goaded creatures. It's not like creatures you're giving your opponents that are
goaded. That's not the reason why you're playing goad.
Yeah,
you're playing it for yourself.
Like, that's just like if you have the other cards that do stuff with goaded, like you're basically playing it for the investigate.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like it as a common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rare. I don't know about it being a rare.
If it's common and removed at the beginning of combat, hold that whole thing and just 2-mana 2/2 investigate, I'd play it.
Yeah. Alright, up next we got Trouble in Pairs. It is 2WW for an enchantment. If an opponent would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead. Okay. Whenever an opponent attacks you with two or more creatures, draws their second card each turn, or casts their second spell each turn, you draw a card.
Yeah.
This is insane.
This is awesome, right?
This is a good card, man.
Card draw in white? What?
Card draw in white, and it's anti-extra turn stuff, so it's anti-blue.
Yep, I already love like
not only anti extra turn, it's anti like a lot of stuff. Really, I mean.
Well, I mean, they can still attack you with your creatures, like whatever.
Yeah, but you get cards for it. Mm-hmm. You get a payout. Yeah, nice.
Like you could definitely play this in like your Ghostly Prison deck.
Mm-hmm.
Mangara, the diplomat. It's basically that.
Yeah, Mangara is a sweet card too.
This would be perfect for that. 100%.
Yeah,
that's a good card. That's really good.
This is the best white card we talked about, right?
Oh yeah,
I'd say so. It's definitely up there. Very, very good.
All right, we'll move on to True Identity. One in a white, enchantment. Whenever true identity or another permanent you control is turned face up, scry one. Then draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Ooh, I hate that. And it has disguise for white.
I mean, it's white card draw. You can only do it once a turn.
Yeah.
It is nice that you can trigger it on itself. So you can just, you know, three mana the next turn, flip it up.
Realistically, are you flipping more than one each turn? I've played morphs before, and like it already costs like
five. Yeah, it costs quite a bit of mana.
So
it's usually kind of expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're just playing that kind of
flip it up needs deck. To be, yeah, the disguise deck. It needs to be the morph deck.
Yeah.
Which it will fit. It will see play in that deck, I guarantee it.
Yeah, because by itself it's a 4-mana scry one draw. That's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's okay for white, I guess, but it's still bad compared to the other white card draw that exists now.
There's definitely other cards.
Trouble in pairs? Trouble in pairs? Yeah. Huh?
Next up, we got Unexplained Absence. It's 3 and a white for an instant. For each player, exile up to one target non-land permanent that player controls. For each permanent exiled this way, its controller cloaks the top card of their library, which is basically Manifest, but it has Ward 2.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
I mean, Cloak in general has been good. That blue card that we were talking about that said we didn't care for it that much, it ended up in being like True Name Nemesis. So.
Yep. It's actually, pretty good.
It happens sometimes, you know?
But this one, you get a target. So I like that a lot.
Yeah. And it just exiles. I mean, I don't really care about giving them a 2/2 if I'm exiling their best thing.
Exactly. Yeah, this seems really, really good. I mean, it's 4 mana, which is a little bit bad, but you get the 3 for 1. You get to choose, and it's exile. There's like no clause coming back. It's not like Oblivion Ring or what those enchantments that they're going to come back.
Yeah, they're losing it no matter what.
Yeah.
They just get a 2/2 out of it.
Seems really good. I don't know.
I mean, if I'm going to pay 4 mana, you want at least 2 for 1, right? So if you can consistently 2 or 3 for 1 with this, then it's pretty good. If you know you get down to where it's just you versus the other person, it's going to be bad.
But permanent too. It's not creature. Yeah, get rid of the Rhystic Studies. This artifact I don't like.
Sol rings.
A lot of things you can target, and any omniscience, like you name it. Yeah,
seems good.
Seems
good. And it's instant. So you can do it.
Yeah,
The fact that it's instant speed is very good.
You hold up your cryptic command. Oh, you didn't need a counterspell? Let's just Unexplained Absence then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is good. Especially with a full table. This makes this really, really good. All right. Our final white card is Veiled Ascension. It is 3 and a white for an enchantment. When Veiled Ascension enters the battlefield, put a flying counter on each face-down creature you control. Face-down creatures you control enter the battlefield with a flying counter on them, and then at the beginning of your upkeep, you may cloak the top card of your library.
That's awesome.
That's a lot of stuff in one card, man.
All right, so I'm trying to think if this is... Like, obviously, you're playing it in a face-down creature. Deck,
yes,
right?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Morph,
is it good disguise, by itself? Whatever. Like, just how good is 4 mana, you get a 2/2 flyer every turn?
No.
No?
It's okay. It's not great,
But it's
still okay.
Yeah.
Pretty bonkers, and it's still okay. But
in the morph, bonkers in a face-down creature.
In a morph or whatever deck... This is
more
really,
for
really
disguise deck or whatever.
Yeah. Yep. The face down, I guess. Whatever.
Manifest, whatever. Yeah, so face down deck.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to become a thing with all these cards are given for it. There's some really good stuff.
Well, it is a theme in MKM, so like disguise is a meme.
Yeah, you buy this commander deck, the disguise one.
Yeah, the disguise commander deck.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. So
well, that's white. Some good cards, some pretty mediocre cards, though, at the same time. Definitely Merchant of Truth, Trouble in
Pairs. I mean, it's definitely at the point where, like, You're probably going to buy the singles that we talk about that you want and not go out and buy the whole pack unless you actually
always.
Because there's, you're gonna get some of these other rares and kind of cry because they're
if not it's that your amazing. First time, get a commander deck, but you know, buy singles usually is what you want to do. Yeah,
if you're like a brand new player or something, but
use our affiliate link. It's down below.
Yep.
In the show notes.
Help you out. All right, we'll move on to blue. Case blue of the time. Shifting Visage. One blue, blue. Ah. At the beginning of your upkeep, surveil one. To solve, if there are 15 or more cards in your graveyard. And when it's solved, whenever you cast a non-legendary creature spell, copy that spell.
Okay, so I'm guessing this stays in play after you solve it? Is it like an emblem, basically?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So basically, at the beginning of your end step, you check if it was solved, or if you met the solve thing, and if you do, then it just is solved forever. Even if like you exile the 15 cards after that, it's already solved.
Yeah.
You get the last effect forever at that point.
Nice.
But you always get the beginning of your upkeep surveil one. So you'll get surveil one, and then also have whenever you cast knowledge or spell, copy it if you have it solved. So how good is 3 mana at the beginning of your upkeep surveil one?
Pretty good. Then wasn't there that Ascara search for Adskranta, that 2 mana one back in Ixalan?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Right?
That one was pretty good.
And eventually you're gonna hit 15 cards. Well, in 15 turns you will for sure. But you're gonna add more there that way.
No, this 15 cards is pretty easy in Commander, actually.
Yeah, in Commander, like, that's not
especially if you're building towards it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
That's like Commander deck. That's 15% of your deck. That is not that much.
Yeah, I mean, plus if you're playing like the one drop guy that mills 3,
right? You're playing anything like that mills, anything that sacrifices.
Honestly, it seems like a win more card in self milled decks that are already good. But
okay, true.
Yeah,
because like if you're self milling, you're probably gonna do a combo
reanimate
your whole deck and then just play the.
That's
a Zoracle anyway.
I'm thinking like more reanimator stuff.
Yeah, it's good in a reanimator deck if your reanimator deck has blue.
But you have to cast it.
But you also have to reanimate it. You have to cast it, not reanimate it.
Yeah.
So. It's good for filling your graveyard, but then you have to be casting non-legendary stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of the things are legendary.
Yeah, because usually you're playing legendary creatures in a deck like that.
You know, like Grave Titan. It's a pretty good one.
That's not legendary. There are cards that definitely work.
It definitely can be powerful. And it definitely helps to fill your graveyard.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scenarios where it's just awful.
So you definitely have to build. I already have a deck built around doing this.
You have to definitely build around it, and you have to definitely know what you want to do with
it. Definitely just one of those like cards that fit into the archetype. You know, it's not like you're just gonna put this in every blue deck.
Yeah. It's not an insta put in.
But I like it.
Yeah. It's a cool card though.
Speaking of niche cards.
Next up we got Copycatchers. One and a blue for a 2/1 fairy with flying. Whenever you surveil, you may pay one and a blue if you do create a token that's a copy of it.
Okay.
How good is it to always have 2 mana, 2/1 flyer?
Yeah. I wish it was like when you made that copy, you only need to pay 2 and then you create 2 more copies or like for however many you have. But
yeah, it's not. It doesn't 2 snowball.
For every single one.
Every single one. That seems like a lot.
You have to have like infinite mana, basically.
I mean, which is not hard to do in blue, but
it's really not. You just have to have freaking Deadeye Navigator and freaking one of the many things that give you extra mana.
You have much better things to do with infinite mana than make
make infinite copycatchers. Which you also would need a surveil thing to keep surveilling.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, if you can make it, mana, you much be better off like putting in like Omniscience or something and just doing stupid shit.
Yeah, it seems very bad.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's 2 for every single one makes it so much worse. Unfortunately, if that wasn't a thing, it would be a lot better.
I think it'd be better if it was the 2 traded token for each copy of Copycatchers.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be.
Or if it was like you just pay a colorless.
Yeah. Then it'd be closer to like kind of how Scoot Swarm or like, you know, some of the other snowball cards are. Like,
yes.
It makes it much more reasonable. I think,
yeah. And like, even if you're surveilling every turn, it's like, do I really want to spend 2 mana to make a 2/1 after that? Like, I could just hold up my counter spell. Like,
like thinking of something like Rhystic Study, how many times do people pay 1 for them not to draw?
They don't.
Almost never. They like, draw a card. I need my mana. So. Yeah. No, this is probably not worth 2 mana every single time.
You get a 2/1 flyer.
It's a cool card. Yeah,
it's a cool card. It's unfortunate that it's very, very mediocre, though, which is unfortunate. All right. Next up, we got Detective of the Month. It is 2 and a blue for a 2/3 human detective creature. It has Ascend. So that's if you control 10 or more permanents, you get the City's Blessing for the rest of the game. As long as you have the City's Blessing, Texas you control can't be blocked. And then it also has, whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 2/2 white and blue detective creature token.
I like it.
That's got a lot of stuff stapled to it.
Good in the detective's deck, if you're making the new detective's deck. Can fit into the deck that already exists of just when you draw 2 cards a turn.
Yeah.
So, and it's only 3 mana. Like,
yeah. It's a 2/3. Pretty decent, really. Decently statted. It's got a lot of effects.
Yeah. I think it's the main part is the bottom part. You can just ignore that detective part and still a decent card.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, you could definitely play that if you have detectives. Yeah. It's a bonus.
Yeah, the unblockable thing is just a win more, basically. Like, this is a much better engine for creating stuff than having to pay 2 every single time. Like, this is reasonable. Yeah.
What is so your reward for being Detective of the Month is to get another detective?
I guess, yeah.
Or to be unblockable. Because it's the Detective of the Month.
Probably unblockable. I don't know. I'm not reading that deeply into it.
All right, we'll move on to Final Word Phantom. 2 and a blue with for 1/4 spirit detective, flash and flying. During each opponent's end step, you may cast spells as though they had flash.
So you get the final word.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
You can play sorceries and whatever on the opponent's end steps.
Yeah.
Very niche, because I feel like the end step, that isn't really a very
crazy time. Big instance of sorceries deck like that. Physics or whatever, and you're like, all right, end step, I'm going to lava axe you. After holding up my counter spell.
Yeah, it's going to be stuff that you want to play. You're not really going to be able to react to anything with this.
No, you can't react. But I see, like, creatures, too, like, easily. Yeah. Like, you're not... Mm. You see the open window where no one has counterspell up or something. You play your creature, and then now it has, like, pseudo-haste.
Right.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Just giving you stuff flash is pretty effective. Mm-hmm. By itself, I mean, a 3-mana 1/4 flyer is not bad, either.
Yeah, it's pretty decent by itself. Yeah. Yeah, interesting card.
It's out of bolt range.
I kind of like it. Yeah, it's out of bolt range. It's harder to deal with.
All right, we got Follow the Bodies. 2 and a blue for a sorcery with Gravestorm.
What the hell is that?
When you cast a spell, copy it for each permanent put into a graveyard from the battlefield this turn.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then investigate. So we conclude.
Okay, so you're just making an ass ton of clues of shit died, basically. Yeah,
but you just need, what, 3 to make it good? I wish it was an instant, though.
Yeah, instant would be sweet. Anti-board wipe.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're going to cast your stupid, you know, Wrath of God? Oh, okay, I'm going to get a fuck ton of clues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have been nice. This with Flash seems very powerful, but you need to have, like,
with the Ley Line. Final Word guy.
Yeah, with the Final Word guy, or, like, a Ley Line or something.
He would die to that Wrath.
Yeah, that's true. That would, yeah. You need like Leyland of Anticipation or something for this to be really, really good, I think.
I mean, Aristocrats.
It's still pretty decent.
Like, yeah, Aristocrats. You could put three
but
things.
Blue Aristocrats? Yeah. Are you really that's running blue? Weird.
Hmm.
I mean, or you can just board wipe yourself and then cast it.
That's some forehead thing.
That's some 4D chess bullshit, man.
It's just like when you play like Damnation and Heroic Intervention in response, right? At one side,
okay. Yeah.
But you were
you're like, okay, I was going to board wipe anyway. And I have an extra 3 mana, so I might as well play it and just get some value.
But... And then you pay 6 mana to draw 3 cards. Like that's...
Well, I do that later.
That seems pretty bad.
But you have to get 3 to make this worth it, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you don't get 3 clues, it's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you still have to pay the mana for the clues. That's the other thing, so... Yeah, you're gonna get a bunch of clues, which... In the right deck, that might be fine, because there's like the decks that, you know, use clues and stuff for other purposes.
It would just be better if it just had regular Storm, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, Grave Storm. It,
you're in so blue. Weird. You're in blue.
Yeah, this is very much
if a it was in black, it would be a different story.
I'm just like, how am I going to put a bunch of stuff into my graveyard?
Yeah.
And then cast a sorcery.
If you're playing like Dimir or something, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to be playing like blue-black Aristocrats.
Yeah. Is that even a thing?
Or blue-black-white, like Esper or something. I don't know. It's okay. If you could find it and make it work, it'll be good. If you can get 3+, if you can't, you're definitely not going to play it.
Or if you have this pair with like something that gives it flash, then it gets infinitely better. But yeah. Otherwise, I don't know. I want to see it work, but I don't know. It seems pretty niche. Next up, we have Tangle Trove Kelp. It is 5BB, 7 total for a 6/6 artifact clue plant creature. It has Ward 2. At the beginning of each combat, other clues you control become 6/6 plant creatures in addition to their other types until end of turn. Then it has pay 2, sacrifice this, draw a card. So that is a good clue win con right there.
Yeah, this seems sick. That's a seven drop. But yeah,
it turns all your clues into 6/6s. It's a 7 drop, but if you could cheat it in or something.
It's a 7 drop, but that's a freaking bomb. That's a game winner. Yeah. Especially if it's uncontested. Like, you just win. But if you have any, even a couple clues on the board, that's a lot of power.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's a sick card. All right, last blue card.
All right, it's the Watcher of Hours. 5BB for a 6/6 Sphinx creature. Has flying in Ward 3. Whenever you remove a time counter from Watcher of Hours while it's exiled, surveil 1. Suspend 6 for 2 mana.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a sick card.
Two mana, and then you surveil every turn.
Get a 6/6 flying Ward 3. It's pretty good.
That's pretty decent. Yeah. Fucking Sphinxes, man. They always are crazy.
It's better than the last. What was that last Sphinx? The collect evidence one? This is better than that one.
We don't talk about that one. Yeah. This is actually
That was pretty cool. That's blue. Blue had some pretty decent stuff in it. That kelp, that Tanglewood card's really, really good. Or
I vote for the kelp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably one of the better ones. Sphinx is pretty decent too, I guess. All right, Corey, what's your favorite color?
It's black.
It's black.
Black time.
All right, we got Charnel Serenade, 4 black for a sorcery. Surveil 3. Then return a creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield with a finality counter on it. Exile this with 3 time counters on it. So it's one of those infinite cards because you'll keep getting unless they counter or something. You'll keep suspending it with 3, just like that old blue one that kept bouncing things. This one will keep returning creatures to the battlefield.
Yeah, so you're always suspending this, right?
Yeah, you're always
going to. I feel like six is a lot of mana to just to return a creature.
It is nice to surveil three first, so like you probably won't whiff.
Yeah.
Right. But... the finality counter always gets me.
Yeah, that that sucks a little bit because the finality counter makes it be exiled. Like,
I don't want to play Reanimator and have finality counters on my guys. Like,
it might be okay. Finality
counter on your freaking Grave Titan or something. You're just sad if that dies in.
Yeah.
Well, if you have white in your reanimate deck too, you can play you can't get counters on permanents.
Yeah.
Okay. Still eliminate.
It's a little niche, but it works.
Two-card combo to not do much.
I don't know, man.
I'd probably try it, see what how
it plays. It might be fun.
Because, I mean, like, realistically, because you have to wait three turns every time, you're probably getting, three bring backs? Like, if you bring back your best thing three times, it's probably pretty good.
That's like nine turns. Man. How long are your commander games?
Well, as we're saying, the average game is like 8-ish turns. So if you get this three times,
that's
you have
that's
to have like right a fucking
maybe
way.
Two times. Okay, two times. Pretty good.
Okay,
but you have to have this like on turn three.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you draw it on like turn six, you can just do it whenever.
Maybe you ramp it like a turn somehow. You know, but
I think there's better cards.
There definitely is better cards. But if you want a repeatable bunch of, you need a bunch of stuff in your yard, I don't know. It seems okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like graveyard shenanigans, so I'm going to at least try it, see how good it is.
Yeah. That's Corey's thing.
I like it because it's repeatable. If it wasn't repeatable,
it'd
be like the worst card in the world.
But like, how many are you? I'm going to kill you before you have it repeat. Once you're like, I'm going to wait for my spell to cast, and I'm going to be like,
well, no, because I'm going to bring back my what the hell is
Elish Norn,
the Archon or whatever.
Okay, yeah,
Archon. Exile your thing, and then you kill it, whatever, it leaves play. I still get to exile another thing.
Yep, it's okay.
It sucks with like Kusho, like that's awful. Yeah. Kusho.
It's very bad.
It's gonna be exile, but.
It's like the last thing you want. All right. It's very interesting next card. The Eye of Dusk Mantle. It is 5BB for a 3/8 eye creature. Reminds me of those enemies in like Final Fantasy X. They're like the floating eyes.
Yeah. There's like the Gorgon Eye creature too that already existed. That was like a Gorgon Eye creature.
Yeah, it's eyes can't be blocked or something, or your eyes can't block. I think it was a downside.
So this one, it has flying. It's a 3/8, so big butt and whatnot. It's got flying and lifelink. You may play lands and cast spells from among cards in your graveyard you've surveilled this turn. If you cast a spell this way, you pay life equal to its mana value rather than paying its mana cost.
So bonkers if you can
build
around
that's really if you can build around this does some
it's
work.
Good with that that enchantment that made you surveil one every turn. You could just play that every turn.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a 7 drop.
Yeah,
that's a lot of mana.
3/8? Why is it a 3/8? I don't.
And that's a strange PT, man.
With lifelink. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you want to block with it because it has an 8 deep toughness, but you want to attack because it has
evasion. You want to gain the life back because of the life. Attack. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, it's, weird cards.
It's a
I almost feel like it should be an 8/3.
That would
be that would have made a little more sense. Yeah, that'd be crazy then.
Right. Or an 8/8.
Yeah.
Like, screw it.
I mean, you're paying fucking 7 fucking mana.
It still can be good, though.
It can be good. It's just, it should not.
This is going to be one of the cards you cheat in. Like, you surveil this, reanimate it, and then keep surveilling.
Definitely build around.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to the Foreboding Steamboat. 3BB for 5/7 vehicle. When it enters the battlefield, each player chooses two non-token, non-vehicle creatures they control. Exile them until Foreboding Steamboat leaves the battlefield. Whenever it attacks, put a card exiled with it into its owner's graveyard. If you do, investigate. Crew 2.
Dang. This has got some power.
So you can 6-for-1?
Yep, 6-for-1. Hopefully, during time, you'll actually like get him to the graveyard. But
yeah, so that they don't get him back if they just immediately kill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
seems interesting.
Still pretty good. Like,
yeah, that's a good card, man.
It's a 5/7 for 5, too.
Yeah, it's only crew two.
If you're making a boat deck with all the pirate ships, you can put this.
Yeah. In. Yeah, it's going to be really, really good with some black decks for sure.
Yeah. Crew 2, yeah. Like, your commander is going to be guaranteed to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, the crew 2 is going to be so easy.
Yeah, that's very, very good.
Yeah, I like it.
And it's really good because you get the value basically just not even caring that you have a 5/7 behind. Like,
yeah.
It's yeah.
Like, the 5/7 is just the 5 mana up to exile 6 things. Granted, yeah, your opponents choose, but still. Oh, it's each player, right? So you choose 2 things too.
Yeah, it's each.
It's gonna be 8. I mean, unless you have all vehicles.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I was thinking you gotta choose, but
yeah, you choose. It's gonna be their worst thing. So you're getting the 8 worst things on the board, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, not as crazy, but still good.
That's gonna add up real fast, though. Yeah, that's going to do a lot.
I mean, especially if the things you choose have like ETBs, so that if you get everyone else's away and then sack this off or something,
it comes
back. All right, next up we got Unshakable Tale. 2 and a black for a 3/2 zombie detective. When it enters the battlefield and at the beginning of your upkeep, you surveil 1. And whenever 1 or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from your library, investigate, and you can pay 2, sacrifice a clue, return it from your graveyard to your hand.
It's interesting. A lot
of stuff for a 3-drop.
Yeah. It really is. So that's a lot of surveilling.
Combos then, with itself, basically. Also.
Yeah. Also reanimates, basically.
Well, yeah, also if you play like Zombify or Entomb, you
yeah.
trigger
and
get a clue.
It synergizes with those
like cards. How good is Entomb get a clue?
Yeah, that seems insane. Pay, what is it, 1 or 2 for Entomb? I can't remember. Is it 2? Yeah, then 1.
Play the other one, like, you know, put 3 creatures in the grave, get a clue.
Yeah, that seems...
It seems okay if you're already doing that thing.
Yeah.
It being a zombie is nice as well.
Yeah. Yep. It's also it fits be decent in a zombie deck. Just get some card draw in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Card draw is always good. Just period. This is a cool card. Honestly. It does a lot. And it's very cheap, too. It's not very expensive. Decently statted. Like, yeah. I could definitely get behind it. Well, that was a very short black deck or black set. The Steamboat's definitely, I think, the winner here easily.
Okay.
that's a pretty good card. So now we're on to red. So our first red card that we have is Boltbender. It is 3 and a red for a 4/2 goblin wizard creature. It has disguise 2. Or, sorry, this guy has 1 and a red. And then when it is turned face up, you may choose new targets for any number of other spells and or abilities. So a spell slinging deck.
One time. Yeah, this is the red will bender. There's a blue creature that's just like this that it's calling back to. This is a goblin now.
Cool. Except for will bender is just better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because isn't Will Bender you gain control of it? You target it something?
No, you just change the target of target spell. It's basically like what is the red free commander spell? Deflecting SWAT.
Oh, okay. So it's
just the same.
Change the target.
Yeah. Same thing. Which is good. I like it. Yeah, I like,
I
know, how
this, I hate that you're morphing it first and then flipping it. And, yeah.
They know what's happening, but
you're paying 5 mana.
Yeah, you morph it and you just.
It's definitely interesting though. If you like, if like your opponents get into like a counter war or something, mm-hmm. and then you do it and you can change all the targets.
Mm-hmm. This is not counterable either when you turn face up, like right. unless yeah. you can stifle it. But who is doing that?
Yeah, and who's stifling this?
I think it's decent, especially like in a goblin deck. Like it's hard to find deflecting SWAT type.
Yeah, that's things. True.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool card.
I like it a lot. I like how
very niche though, but it's a cool card.
Yeah. I like how this set has goblins that are all like smart. I don't know. They're actually like
dumb goblins. Educated.
Yeah. Yeah, educated goblins.
All right. We have next the Havoc Eater. 5 red for a 3/3 elemental flying. When Havoc Eater enters the battlefield, for each opponent, goad up to 1 target creature that opponent controls. Then put X +1/+1 counters on it. Where X is the total power of the creatures goaded this way. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Okay, that's why it's only a 3/3. I was about to say, why is this cost 7?
So, at worst, it's probably like a 6/6 flyer.
Mm-hmm. At worst. Yeah, well,
yeah, unless they have might creatures, have
creatures. But... yeah.
Yeah, then you kind of cry.
And it's, yeah, it's only ETB. 7 mana is way too much.
Yeah. Especially if you hit nothing, then that's real bad.
Yeah. They I mean, are goaded.
If they all have like super sweet things like Darksteel Colossus or something,
yeah,
that's like dream scenario, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, like the dream.
Hit 3 Darksteels, and this is like 36/36.
Yeah, it's like, well,
and they have to attack, not you.
Mm-hmm. And it's goaded forever. It's not like goad until end of turn, which is usually what goad is.
That's true. I don't know. It's okay. I don't think it's very good.
Yeah, 7 mana is a lot.
7 yeah. mana.
It's very, very high cost. So. Yeah.
Next up, we got Hot Pursuit. Ooh, all right. Hot Pursuit. Mm-hmm. 1 and a red for an enchantment. When Hot Pursuit enters the battlefield, suspect target creature and opponent controls. As long as Hot Pursuit remains on the battlefield, that creature is also goaded. The beginning of combat on your turn, if 2 or more players have lost the game, gain control of all goaded suspected creatures until end of turn, untap them, they gain haste until end of
turn. This is really interesting.
All Do right. I care? Do I care that I'm giving my opponent's creature can't block and menace and goad?
Eh.
And you only do it once, right?
Yeah, then like how many creatures are you getting? Like just like the
one that you get the one bag at the end of the game, like for a turn.
I don't know. I don't like it. It like you played
it's good if you're playing against someone whose whole deck is that is goad.
Yeah, the entire deck.
Okay,
yeah. And then like you play it, and then your final opponent left, and you win. But it's still not good. In that scenario, it's like medium in that case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's bad.
So many things need to go right. It's like
at best, it you have to kill 2 players and then you win the game then.
Yeah.
But like at that point, you already did half the work anyway.
You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Usually you like swing out and kill everyone at once or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have to actually get both other 2 players and get mono imano like that. Rarely happens.
No, it usually doesn't. Yeah, this is a very, very specific
this
scenario.
This card sucks.
The theme of the night.
Next up, we got Mob Verdict. It is 2 red for a sorcery, and it's Secret Council. Each player secretly votes for another player, then those votes are revealed. For each vote an opponent received, Mob Verdict deals 2 damage to that player and each creature that player controls. For each vote you received, you draw a card.
That's it's fun.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So it's going to deal 2 damage to most players. Like, yeah. Nobody's going to vote for the guy who cast it, right? Because they don't want him to draw.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just going to deal some damage. In Commander, that is terrible.
Yeah, it costs 4. Like,
yeah, that's absolutely crap.
I'd rather just play Volcanic Fallout for 3 mana.
Yeah. Sulfuric Vortex.
Yeah, Sulfuric Vortex, too.
I don't know.
I mean, it's a secret vote. Like, so it's not like you could be like, all right, everybody vote for this guy.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, I guess you could still, but. And then it's still only 6 damage. Like,
yeah. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Next. Prisoner's Dilemma. 3/2 red for a sorcery. Each opponent secretly chooses silence or snitch. Then the choices are revealed. If each opponent chose silence, Prisoner's Dilemma deals 4 damage to each of them. If each opponent chose snitch, Prisoner's Dilemma deals 8 damage to each of them. Otherwise, it deals 12 damage to each opponent who chose silence. Has flashback too.
What 7. The hell?
So if one person chooses silence and the rest... Oh, so you need someone to choose each, basically.
Yeah.
Well...
And that does 12 to only silence.
Yeah, then it only does 12 to the people who do silence.
That's so weird.
That's a weird card, man.
It seems fun, but you need to be in like the double damage type deck.
Yeah.
You would be okay. But like you don't choose how much damage is going. And you know, like what we
were just saying. It's not you, I guess. So it's only opponents.
Yeah. But people can collude. Like they all look at each other and like we're all choosing silence, aren't we?
Well, then we'll choose 12.
Then one person says, snitch. No. I don't know. It seems fun, but probably not viable at all.
I mean, if you're one-on-one, they take 4, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
For 5 mana.
Which is...
It's okay. I think it's an okay card. You have to have a way to like double damage or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah, double cast it or something.
It's cool fun. Flavor. I'll give it good that.
They're fun.
Yeah, it's great flavor for sure. It's real cool in that regard. It's just not that practical, unfortunately.
Mm-mm. Next up, we got Showstopping Surprise. 3 red for an instant. Choose target creature you control. Turn it face up if it's face down. Then it deals damage equal to its power to each other creature.
Okay, Chandra's Ignition. Or it's just creature, it's not player.
Yeah, just creature.
But still decent. Thing.
I mean, it's a free flip up if you have something that costs more than 5 to flip up.
Yeah.
Plus, you get to kill something.
It does hit your own creatures.
That's true.
Chandra's Ignition does not. I don't think. Maybe it does.
If it's a big enough creature, you can wipe their board.
Yeah, that's the main thing you want to do.
I mean, it does hit yours too, though, so that's not great.
Yep.
So I don't know.
If it hit face like Chandra's Ignition, this would be amazing. But
yeah, that'd be very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, if you have like Stuffy Doll or something.
Okay. That could make it a little more interesting, for sure.
And a face down creature.
Right? Yeah, and a face, like Stuffy Doll deals 0 then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This one's a little...
It's okay.
It's okay.
Weird.
Which is saying a lot for this set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Next we got T-Sack, Judith's Hellhound. It is 3 and a red for a 3/3 legendary elemental dog creature. It has Unleash. There's a freaking throwback. Other dogs you control also have Unleash. Creatures you control with counters on them have haste. Whenever this attacks, add a red for each attacking creature.
All right, mono red dogs. Let's go. Yeah, we have a commander.
Yeah, that's a thing, I guess. I don't know.
There is like a Naya cats and dogs deck.
Yeah.
Which you could put that in.
But what if you wanted only dogs? Because there's only cats commanders.
You could do this. Don't let your dreams be dreams, Corey. Make it.
You could do it. Who knows how good it's going to be.
You need instant speed because this mana is going to go away after combat. Like, you don't get this second main phase.
So you just have instant speed, like bolts and shit, you know? Just typical burn.
That is true.
Yeah.
Doesn't carry over. I don't think it's that good.
Even if I attack with four creatures, I got a place and it goes four.
Yeah.
You can name the deck hot dogs.
Name the deck hot dogs. Mono red dogs.
Well, that is red. Red is kind of lackluster, unfortunately.
Yep. Boltbender is my choice.
That is probably the best one. And even Boltbender itself is a pretty niche card, so I was just like,
Yeah. Yep.
All right, on to green.
All right, we have Experiment 12, a 4/4 elf lizard warrior with trample. When Experiment 12 or another creature you control is turned face up, put +1/+1 counters on that creature equal to its power. That was disguised for 4 and a green itself. So you do this on turn 3, and then you flip it on turn 5, and you have an 8/8 trample.
Did Experiment 1 just have graph?
It had evolve.
Oh, okay, so it got bigger when you play bigger things.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's like the same kind of thing, only the flipping face up.
Flipping things.
That could be good. It's definitely a waiting game, though.
It's okay.
Yeah. You gotta have other things that...
It's like a 4/4 trample for 4. You're probably... Like, disguising it seems really slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like on that creature equal to effect. Its power. So if you flip it up, it's an 8/8?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit better.
And then the static effect is pretty good.
Like an 8/8 trample. 7 is...
It's like a slow anthem in a way. Yeah. But yeah.
I don't know how good it actually is, but...
Could be good if you have a bunch of things that get turned up all at once somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I just kind of go off.
Like, and then just attack with everything.
I feel like it's something you really got to plan for, though.
It's okay. Next, we got Innocuous Researcher. Yeah. 3 and a green for a 3/4 Centaur Detective. It's got Parlay. When it attacks, each player reveals the top card of their library. For each non-land card revealed this way, you investigate. Then each player draws that card. At the beginning of your end step, you may untap all lands you control. If you do, you can't cast spells until your next turn. Why?
What's the point?
All I can do is sacrifice my clues?
Yep.
What's the point of that?
Well, I'm playing in a blue deck. You got instant speed stuff.
Well, you can't cast spells. Period.
Oh, until your next turn.
Until your next turn,
yeah,
period.
So literally, you parlay, and then it's basically saying, well, you can untap all your lands, but you can only use them to crack your clues.
Yeah.
Which is just like, okay.
I mean, if you're green, you probably don't have a ton of instants anyway, but...
No... But
you can disguise, flip your stuff.
Yeah, you can still flip stuff.
Yeah.
Use any abilities on the board.
Parlay is usually not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Having your opponent draw cards.
Having your opponents draw, I feel like just have you investigate.
I mean, you could make 4 clues off this. But you have to attack with it, which sucks.
Yeah.
Or should just you just did it anyway. Or like just tap do that.
I feel like this card is very mediocre.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good. Next.
Yeah. Oof. Next card, we have On the Trail. It is 1 and a green for an enchantment. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. That's pretty decent, as long as you like have clues or some other ways to keep, you know, keep doing that. Basically, free ramp.
But would you rather just play exploration?
Oh yeah, and then probably. Burgeoning, and then maybe this.
Yeah.
Like, there's better cards.
If you need another version of this effect, sure, here's another one.
Yeah. If you want, like, landfall or something.
It's the maybe. Worst of them, though, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's okay.
Another bad card. We move on. Print Lifter Ooze. 1 and a green for a 2/2 ooze with Death Touch. Has disguise for 3 and a green. And then whenever the ooze or another creature you control is turned face up, create a 0/0 green ooze creature token with trample. Token enters battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of other creatures you control.
Okay, that's not too bad now. It only costs 2 or 4, well, 4 for the disguise.
2 only, right?
Yeah. Like why disguise it?
Why would I pay 7 to get like a 2/2 and a 1/1?
It's for each other creature. They don't have to have disguise. So you have like 10 creatures out. You flip right. them, you get a 10/10.
Yeah, but then you have to have 10 other creatures out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of this card. You need creatures.
But I think it's better just playing it out. Like on turn 2 is a 2/2 and then just flipping other stuff throughout the game to get value.
Sure.
Then it is just... if you already have 10 creatures and then pay a bunch to flip it.
This could definitely be a value card in the right scenario.
With the slime against humanity.
Yeah, slime against humanity.
Yeah, you need to be in the right deck.
Yeah.
Would you play this in the slime against humanity deck just to make more oozes?
No, not at all. You would rather just play another copy of slime against humanity. Easily.
It's just objectively better. Oh, that was green. Green was pretty lackluster. Moving on to multi.
We do our segue into our little thing we do.
Sure.
Segue time.
So first, we got some segments coming on here. First up, we got my crazy card.
Corey's crazy card.
Yeah, so my crazy card this week is Sorrow's Path. It's a land from the dark that says, tap, choose 2 target blocking creatures an opponent controls. If each of those creatures could block all creatures that the other is blocking, or move both of them from combat, then each one then blocks all creatures the other was blocking. And when it becomes tapped, so when you tap it to use its effect, it deals 2 damage to you and each creature you control.
The artwork's sick.
Yeah, but it's basically a terrible card, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm dealing 2 damage to myself and all my creatures just to switch blockers, like what their blockers around on how they declare blocks.
You got to get in that situation too, which is hard to get into. And yeah. Then you're just like, oh, I gotcha. But
yeah, like, oh, I attacked with my 2/4/4s and you double blocked one and single blocked another and I switched.
Say, oh, good job.
Getting into that situation is tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's your land drop. You missed that.
Yeah, it doesn't tap for land normally, so it's just sits there.
Oh, it's a crazy card.
Yep.
It's pretty
crazy bad card.
Hey, you stuck with the theme of the night.
Got him.
All right, what is Josh's jank combo?
My jank combo. All right, this one's pretty well known if you know how to flip some coins. We're going to do the Frenetic Efreet. It's a 1 blue and a red for a flying Efreet, but he has a 0 activated ability. Flip a coin, target opponent calls heads or tails while the coin is in the air. If the coin flip ends up in your favor, he phases out. Otherwise, you bury it. But what you do is with these zero mana abilities is you could stack them infinitely. But we only really need to stack it maybe like 5,000 times, something like that. Enough to get a lot of flips in. Then we would just play an enchantment called Chance Encounter. And this is a 2 and a 2 red enchantment. Whenever you win a flip, coin flip, put a luck counter on it. And at the beginning of your upkeep, Chance Encounter has 10 or more luck counters on it. You win the game. So out of that like 5,000 we flipped before, you had to win at least like 10 of those flips. And then on your upkeep, you win the game. Pretty easy.
You're sitting where your friends are, and I got to flip this 5,000 times.
It's easy.
I think we can shortcut that and just say probability-wise, you're probably going to make it.
Oh, no. If I'm playing somebody, and they're going to win the game from it, I'm making them flip it all 5,000 times and hit 10 of them. I mean, once they hit 10, I'd be like, whatever.
But yeah. What probability is like almost 100 is still too much? 50? You should win 10? I mean, technically, it should be 20.
It should be 20, but you could have really bad luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you have my luck, then sure.
Then we go to 5,000.
Yeah. It's going to take a while, boys.
All right.
Just saying. So that's why I don't play chance stuff. That's why I play shit like this.
James's Jungle.
So my jungle card for this week is a very very known classic in green, Glimpse of Nature. It costs a green for a sorcery. Whenever you play a creature spell this turn, you draw a card, which, you know, seems innocuous enough. But if you're playing something like elves or something where you just play like a something that like doubles your tokens, basically, because it isn't or I think it is cast, but so you can't just get like doubling triggers off of it. But still, like if you're, you know, playing a bunch of small stuff, you can just draw through your deck basically. This is a very well known one in Legacy Elves. This is basically the card that runs the entire deck.
Heritage Druid and the Metal Sentinel and
Then you just keep you basically get infinite mana, then you just keep drawing. So yeah, yep. It's a draw engine. It's basically Green Storm is what this turns into. So who doesn't love that? You know, who doesn't love Storm?
Everyone knows Beast Whisperer, and that's where Beast Whisperer got inspired by Glimpse of Nature.
Yeah,
basically.
It's a really strong card.
My buddy plays Seton, Crows and Protector, Druid Commander, I guess, but it has like the Earthcraft, tap an untapped druid you control, add a green, and all of his druids like cast like one or an elf. So you're just play Glimpse of Nature, draw to it, play it, tap it for green, draw another one, play another one, tap it for green. Insane.
Yeah, you just keep going. Tell you just have a flooded board, and then you play like Craterhoof or something, and just trample for a billion damage. Good times.
Good card.
Oh yeah. Alright, so we are to our multicolored cards now. Let's see. I believe Corey, you're up, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. First multicolored card is Knowledge is Power. It's 3 white, blue for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +X/+X, where X is the number of cards you've drawn this turn. So at worst, it's everything gets 1/1 because you draw a card for you beginning your turn.
Right.
It's weird seeing an Anthem in Azorius.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that could be okay. Well, because when you think of the Collective Blessing, that's what, 5 for 3/3? So this could be 5 for possibly more than that if you draw a lot.
Play this, the next turn I'm going to attack with all my shit. And then after you block, I'm going to play Sphinx Rev for as much as I need to.
Yep.
Make it good.
Exactly. Yeah. And you also gain a fucking life. Yeah, that's definitely the combo that comes to my mind.
What is that? Into the Infinite or something where you like draw your whole deck? What is that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then you have your creatures a billion.
Heck yeah.
It's always
enough for commander damage.
Yeah. Exactly. Just ping off
people. Obviously, 21. It's good if you could draw a bunch of cards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty mediocre. I'm also definitely joking. Made for something like something that draws, basically. Windfall or something like that. Next up, we got Counterpoint. It is 3 and Dimir, or black and blue, for an instant. Counter target spell. You may cast a creature, instant, sorcery, or a planeswalker spell from your graveyard with mana value less than or equal to the spell's mana value without paying its mana cost.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool, but that's a pretty expensive counter.
Yeah. 5 is a little much. I've seen like cards that do this for like 4 and stuff where
yeah.
It's cute, but like you need to also have that spell in your hand that you want to like do.
Well, this is from your graveyard.
Yeah.
It's your graveyard. But yeah. But still setting it up.
Like this takes a lot of setup. I feel like I don't know. This is easy to whiff, and then paying 5 mm-hmm. is a counter a spell. I mean, feels real bad.
If you hit a 3 drop with it, it's worth it.
It's fine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like counterspell plus a 3 drop.
Yeah, like that's okay.
But yeah, you'd have to counter something 3 or more.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it's okay. If you're
it's a blue it's black, all right. This I don't know if it's amazing, though.
All right, we got Marvo Deep Operative. 3 blue black for Legendary Octopus Rogue. It's a 1/8. Whenever it attacks, clash with the defending player.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
I know.
Each player just reveals the top. Whoever has the highest mana value wins. Whenever you win a clash, draw a card. And you may cast a spell from your hand with mana value 8 or less without paying its mana cost.
Okay.
That seems
clash
fun.
Was in what? Morrowind, I think?
Yeah, that was Morrowind. A long time ago, yeah.
Yep.
That's an interesting card.
Wasn't Clash mostly like green though?
No, there were some black ones too.
Yeah, there's a couple.
There was a decent black one that was like they discard a card, and if you win the Clash, it goes back to your hand. I think.
People have fun with Clash now.
So you could keep like playing 2 mana, make them discard a card.
Right.
There was I think the best one was green, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool card. I don't know how good it is, but it's kind of cool.
I mean, it's a 1/8 octopus.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a block.
If you're playing a bunch of 8 CMC, like, you know, 8/7/6 CMC cards.
Yep. Yeah, it's really good for that.
Yeah, I still think Witch Majig's a better commander for that, though. Like, you just play was it Saturo?
Yeah.
You can Ninjutsu it for 4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It does trigger on itself.
It triggers just on attack, so.
Yeah. So you don't need the other clash.
You don't need them to block or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely nice. You just gotta win your clashes.
Yeah, I'd rather play Ninjutsu. I agree with that.
It's Octopus Rogue.
Yeah, that's such a strange combination.
About to grab that dagger right there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going for it.
It's definitely cool.
Yeah, it's a cool card, definitely.
You could just play it in the 99 of that Octopus Sea Creature deck.
Sure.
Yeah.
It would definitely fit. You could play stuff for free. Is it me next?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Is
you. Next up, we got Mirko, the Obsessive Theorist. 1 blue and a black for a 1/3 legendary creature, Vampire Detective. It's got flying and vigilance. Whenever you surveil, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And at the beginning of your end step, you may return target creature card with power less than Mirko's from your graveyard to the battlefield with a finality counter on it.
There's that there finality counter again.
Every time.
Gosh. There's our surveil deck.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah, it's right there.
Stupid finality counter.
Yeah.
It's been so good, much though. Better.
It's like yeah. It's 3 mana for a 1/3. Like
yeah.
It would have been so much better.
If you surveil enough, you get commander damage.
Yeah, like it's definitely still good.
Yeah.
Because you could just commander damage someone out. So and you can attack and block with it because it has vigilance.
Isn't there there's a demon that you can like pay 2 life to surveil one or something? So you can just like really pump this guy up and get real deep into it.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, this seems like the most fun deck that we've seen, though, right? Is the
I would say so. Legendary. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think we really saw any legendaries.
There's been a couple.
There's been a couple, but yeah, this is the best commander-wise one, I think.
Yeah, I'd say. The best one's going to work with a deck. It's got good synergy.
Oh, there was Hot Dogs. That was it.
Yeah, which is the synergy.
I'm gonna build that deck.
All right, okay.
You gotta build hot dogs.
Hot dogs, and I still gotta put my skeleton deck together. Hot dogs and skeletons.
I'm gonna make that goat deck just to make you mad.
Yeah, just to spite Corey. To be honest, how much Corey loves it. All right, let's see. Our next one here is Feather Radiant Arbiter.
She's back.
It is Boros plus another white, so red, white, white, for a 4/3 legendary angel creature. It has flying and lifelink. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell that targets only Feather Radiant Arbiter, you may choose any number of other creatures that spell could target and pay 2 for each of those creatures. If you do, for each of those creatures copy that spell, the copy targets that creature.
I would still play original Feather, but yeah, putting this in the 99 of Feather.
Not bad, though. Cool. Yeah. It's a good way to buff your shit, basically. It's good
with enchantments.
Yeah.
It's going to buff your shit.
Because you can just keep putting enchantments on all your stuff.
Yeah, enchantments is pretty bonkers.
Yeah, just basically copy everything.
It's also like a 3 mana 4/3 flying lifelink. Yes. Don't even care about the other effect.
I mean, that in itself is a decently static creature, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
It's good. It's not as good as the other Feather, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, I guess, in 1v1s, if we're thinking like Legacy or something, make the 4/3 lifelink's pretty good. Commander, you want that other ability.
You're definitely wanting that. It's pretty weak by itself.
It's me. We are on to Nelly Baraka, Impulsive Accuser. 2 red and white for 2/4 human detective that's vigilant. Whenever Nelly attacks, suspect target creature. Then goad all suspected creatures. Whenever one or more creatures an opponent controls deal combat damage to one or more of your opponents, you and the controller of those creatures each draw a card. So that's a lot of hoops to have you both secret rendezvous. I don't know.
Well, this could be your commander for your suspect goad deck.
My goad deck.
Your weird ass goad suspect. Detective shenanigans deck.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not building this.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, if you're going to build the goat, I don't blame you. Was it the spider? The spider's better, I think.
Okay, yeah. Thanticus or what? Something like that.
Yeah.
That Jund spider.
Yeah, the Jund spider, I think, would be better for a goat.
Yeah. Like that.
That's very, I don't know, interesting card.
All right, next up we got Take the Bait. 2 red and a white for an instant. Cast this spell only during an opponent's turn and only during combat. Prevent all combat damage that will be dealt to you and planeswalkers you control this turn. Untap all attacking creatures. Goad them. After this phase, there's an additional combat phase.
See, they're just like, no, you don't attack me. Attack other people, please. That's kind of funny. I don't know about it costing four to do that. That seems kind of like
a lot. You gotta hope that your opponents are attacking.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're attacking you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is horrible. Next.
Yeah, it's not a great, unfortunately.
It's hilarious.
It's fucking funny, but it's not a good card. Yeah,
but it's like deflecting palms better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Fog is better. It costs one.
True. True.
And it just ends combat, basically. Or,
well, we're just gotta talk about red white here. So holy day. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Holy day. Yeah. That's the white equivalent of fog. Oh man. All right, Corey, you got the bear.
I thought I just read this one.
Oh, did you?
You have the bear. Oh,
it's my turn. I have the bear. My bad. I have Duskana the Rage Mother. It is 2 red, green, white for a 5/5 legendary bear creature. When Duskana the Rage Mother enters the battlefield, draw a card for each creature you control with base power and toughness 2/2. Whenever a creature you control with base power and toughness 2/2 attacks, it gets +3/+3 until end of turn. So,
tribal. Let's go.
For just your 2
bears.
Grizzly bears.
Battlestar Galactica.
But you could play other 2/2s in this deck.
Yep.
And even like disguise creatures and morph creatures count. Those are 2/2s.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they make them 5/5s.
There's some good 2/2s, like, I don't know, Grand Abolisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's probably some good ones. Let's see, Skyclave Apparition, I like. There's some weird interactions with this one. There's this new card from Lost Caverns of Ixalan, Kudzul Malamet Exemplar. It's like 1 green-white. It's a 3/3 cat warrior, but it's like whenever 1 or more creatures you control
with power greater than its base power.
Cat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
Yeah, that's bonkers with this.
Because they keep getting bigger. Because that happens every turn. It snowballs. So yeah, this would be insane.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you just have a gigantic.
You could also just play this in your bear tribal deck if you want to add white and green and white mm-hmm. and red to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I can have Dockside Extortionist. Good. In my bear deck.
I can have Smothering Tithe in my bear deck.
It's going to be good.
I'm going to make it good, damn it. Yeah, that's an interesting card. I feel like it definitely has potential.
Heck yeah. All
right. It's at least statted right, so I mean, it's got that going.
It looks really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fun card. Definitely.
This is probably my favorite out of all of them so far.
Yeah. We haven't had much to go off of here.
No!
Sadly.
All right. Now we're on Kaust, Eyes of the Glade for hybrid mana Boros in a green. For a 2/2 Dryad Detective. Whenever a creature you control that was turned face up this turn deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. You can tap him, turn target face down, attacking creature you control face up.
There you go. Face down.
That's kind of
the Kadena.
Yeah. Honestly, seems pretty good. This might push.
That's actually not bad.
Red, white, green.
This pushes it pretty hard.
With the bear deck.
Yep. It's the same colors. So that works.
Or put the bear in this deck.
Yeah. How much this pushes the deck? I don't know. The 99 cards don't even look that good, but this as a commander seems pretty solid.
Yeah, this is a good. This is a good face down deck you have to commander.
Build around it for sure.
Yeah.
I like it, and he's got like this little squirrel thing on his arm. Oh, what is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's cute.
Next up, we got Morska, the Undersea Sleuth. It is Bant, so that is green, white, blue. For a 2/3 Videlkin Fish Detective, it's legendary. Fish. You have no maximum hand size. At the beginning of your upkeep, you investigate. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, put 2 plus absorb counters on.
All right.
Beginning of upkeep, investigate seems actually solid.
Yeah,
and no max hand size.
And no max hand size stapled to it. It's pretty good.
And it's like 2 mana draw, put 2/1/1s on it every turn. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Not bad for 3, honestly. Like, that's kind of a lot going for a 3 drop.
You could play all of those clue cards in it.
I always say if your commander can draw some cards, it's good. So
yeah, it's a good commander.
That can draw cards.
Yeah, it's a draw engine. Yeah. I think it's definitely got a lot going for it.
All right, we're hitting some bangers at the end.
Yeah, it just took us to the multicolored cards to do it. All right, next up we got Sophia, the Dogged Detective. It is 1 and banned, so 4 total, for a 3/4 legendary human detective creature. When Sophia, Dogged Detective, enters the battlefield, create Tiny, a legendary 2/2 green Dogged Detective creature token with trample. And it has pay 1, sacrifice an artifact token. Put a +1/+1 counter on each dog you control. Whenever a dog you control deals combat damage to a player, create a food token, then investigate. So, okay, more dog synergy, I guess. That's
better dog commander.
Yeah. That's better than the other one.
I mean, you get a food, you investigate, you put 1/1s on stuff, you get a 2/2 dog with trample.
That seems not too bad, as long as there are cards that will be able to synergize with this. I don't know how many dogs there are in Magic, but...
There's quite a few now, because they typeface, when they made Dog, they typefaced all hounds into dogs.
So, oh, they did? Okay, yeah, there are definitely some hounds, for sure, so...
You always have Changeling.
Always filling your decks with changelings always feels so bad, though.
Hey, changelings are really good. Just because they're changelings.
They can be. It's very specific, though.
All right, we got the...
All right, artifact time.
Panoptic Projector. It's a 4-mana artifact. Tap it. The next face-down creature spell you cast this turn costs 3 less to cast. If turning a face down permanent, face up causes the triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, which is usually what happens, that ability triggers an additional time.
Nice.
So we'll play something face down for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
really actually good. A pretty decent synergizing card for face down shit.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has to go like auto include in all. Face down deck.
This is any face down deck you're gonna play this 100%. That's just good. Outside of that, no, you're not playing it. It's definitely made for that.
Yep.
Then we have Ransom Note. All right, it is a 1-mana artifact clue.
Hi there.
When it enters the battlefield, you surveil 1, and then you can sacrifice the Ransom Note to cloak the top card of your library, go to creature. Or as normal, just draw a card.
So it's like an interesting, flexible clue that does more shit. Okay.
But it costs a card.
Yeah.
Like it is a card.
Right.
I don't really like it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and it's like clues are fine when you're like drawing a card. Like, how often are you going to wanting to goad a target creature?
No, and you're gonna cloak or draw.
Cloak or draw is definitely what you're gonna do. But like, do you want to burn a card slot in the 99 just to be able to cloak the top card of your library?
I don't think so.
No, probably
not. I mean,
not.
It's a 1-mana 2/2. Oh, no, it's 3-mana. Damn it. You're right.
Yeah.
I forgot you just sack it.
Yeah, he's going to sack it too.
I mean, you get it's a one mana surveil one.
Yeah, it's an artifact. Three mana surveil
one, 2/2.
Like, there's other cards that's
good.
I feel like there's infinite other cards that do the same
thing. It
shit
does trigger all of your sack of clue with sack of artifact effects.
Yeah, because it is a clue itself, but still. There's other ways to make clues, man.
Yeah. I don't think this is it. Again, and this is a rare. Why is this a rare?
Yeah, I don't know why this is a rare. This is like a common.
This is a common, man. I'm sorry. They're reaching for this one. Well, with that's the set. Honestly, kind of lackluster, sadly. Like, there's definitely some cool stuff in here, but I feel like a lot of this is just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, the set in general seems a little bit slower. This is the Commander decks, obviously, so...
Yeah.
I mean, if I was going to pick one of these up, the like face down Disguise Detective one seems the best. Or the Surveil one, but that might be the same deck, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I haven't really looked into like what the decks actually are, so... Outside of what I've seen here, I don't really know. But there is definitely some good synergy for the face down stuff. Definitely. There is definitely some clue stuff too, but I feel like a lot of the clue stuff is just kind of okay at best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty lackluster, like you said.
Yeah. This is kind of, it was okay. Nothing too crazy though. Unfortunately, like nothing, like especially coming off of like some of the other sets we've done, like freaking Ixalan, where I was just like, dear God, this is insane. Oh my God, that card's even more insane. Holy shit. You know, and then, you know, coming to this, it's just like, eh. It's a little underwhelmed, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that's set.
Yeah, that's basically our show. A couple ways you can support us. Is directly right on Patreon. You get a bunch of different cool levels. You can sign up there, get a shout out on the show, play Commander with us, all sorts of cool things. We have links to that in the show notes. Also on our website, mtgplace.net. Yeah, and if you want to buy any of these cards, check out our TCG Player affiliate link. Just click that before you go to the page and order. Just puts like a cookie in your browser that lets them know we sent you over there. And it helps support our show.
Yep.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for the support, guys. See you next time.